I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Pharrell on a bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad locks, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We're live in the New York City Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dress in plastic bags to break the driveway, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, fight to fight to party up. Rats on the west side, bed bones uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter. My brain was flattered all over Manhattan. Should do it. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. I got one question, though, before we get rolling, because we got a good show for you tonight. Are you with us tonight from New York? So 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. We want to hear from you tonight, so grab the phone, call us, and get waxed up on the mahogany. A lot of craziness tonight in the NBA. Are you kidding me? Glad I took Toronto over the Cavs, 113-78. 8 minutes to go. They're blowing them out. Your boy Fred Van Vliet, 22-4-4 for the Raptors. You don't even remember that guy. He was a shocker, I think. Celtics today in London, a winner, 114-103 over the Sixers. I had to get Mafia out of bed to get that one up on the website. They had a big run, like 52-25 run. They were down at the half, and then they went crazy and ended up whacking them by 11. Clippers and Kings set to go. Also, bottom of the hour, Spurs and Lakers at Staples. That should be interesting. I was told by Jay Berman that the hockey's all done. How about this? Flames upsetting the Lightning tonight in Tampa, 5-1. No one saw that coming. How about this one? Sabres over the Blue Jackets, 3-1. Bad night in hockey, if you're betting. Canes, 3-1 over the Capitals. I didn't see that one coming either.
All three upsets tonight in the NHL.
All three. You wouldn't have called any of those.
No, not all three. I mean, maybe one out of the three.
Who would you have taken? The Canes, probably.
Probably the Canes.
Because they're not that bad.
No, they've been good.
I mean, they're up. They're 20-15.
Yeah, no, they've played well. They're in a playoff spot, I think, right now. So.
I'm surprised at that. I'm watching Wichita State blowing out East Carolina, 45-23. I also have Illinois and Iowa, 87-85 Hawkeyes, 9 seconds left in Champaign-Urbana. So lots of college rack, as usual. What do we got here? Gonzaga up 20 right now, 17 minutes left. Oregon State upsetting Arizona right now by a bucket, 15 minutes left in the Valley. Go figure. Halftime NC State and Clemson. Wolfpack up 41-38. Oregon and Arizona State set to go. I'm going to be watching that one next from Tempe. Those are the top 25 games. I'll tell you about any other games that matter. Let's see, Little Rock, 58-47 over Arlington. There's about under 10 minutes to go there. Murray State losing at Jacksonville State. They're tough. They're 12-5. They'll go to 13-5. They're up 8 with 30 seconds to go. I didn't see that happening either. BYU up on Pepperdine, 48-36, 17 minutes left. Washington State leads Stanford, 45-38 early in the second half. New Mexico State and Grand Canyon tied at the half at 37s at the Grand Canyon. Isn't that our guy, that Dan Marley? Isn't that who's coaching him? UTEP up on Florida Atlantic, 34-29. Middle Tennessee, 32-30 on Louisiana Tech. San Diego and Pacific are underway. So is Riverside and Davis out west. Sac State and Montana, 7-6 Sac State. Florida International beat San Antonio 79-76. Army by 10 over Lafayette. Ohio State blew out Maryland 91-69. What's with Maryland? How do you get whacked that bad? I don't care where you played a game. You're a Big Ten team getting whacked like that? And Ohio State, I mean, they're tough, but they got the same record almost. How do you get whacked like that? Houston blows out Tulsa 104-71. East Tennessee by 10 over Greensboro. I think the number was 10 in that one. Charleston, big over Northeastern. It was short, -4. They beat them 82-66. Manhattan by 6 over Fairfield. Hofstra beat Towson on the road. A huge win for Hofstra out on Long Island. Florida Gulf Coast blows out South Carolina upstate. As far as anything else, Bucknell beat Lehigh. Marshall, 91-83 over Charlotte. Georgia State over App State, 71-58. Georgia Southern over Coastal Carolina. Western Kentucky went on the road and beat Old Dominion by 7. UAB by 11 over Southern Miss. Everything else is late night, including Utah, UCLA, Cal, Washington, St. Mary's and Santa Clara, Fullerton and Irvine, San Fran, and Loyola Marymount. I'll keep my eyes on all those games. Mark Long will join us in 8 minutes from the AP. He covers the Jaguars. Billy Jaffe at 40 past this very hour from NHL Network and Nesson. We have not talked to our friend Billy Jaffe in a long stretch, otherwise known as in a minute. So we'll talk to Billy Jaffe tonight at 7:40 Vegas time. Good evening, Las Vegas. We'll see you on the week of January 29th at the D Casino, the only place to be in Vegas always. Our home away from home. Rick Haro at 11:40 East, 8:40 Vegas time on Sports Business. Le'Veon Bell says he might retire or sit out next year if the Steelers franchise tag him again. Bell tweeted later in the day that this whole focus is on the playoff run and winning a Super Bowl as he's lying through his teeth as he mentions he will sit out next year to make a giant sideshow of the whole thing. That's a massive distraction. You know, 2 days before the game, 3 days before the game, you're opening your mouth, worried about next year's contract. I mean, playing a big game for once there, Sissy Lips. The guy never plays in big games.
Now, you're right.
What's he going to get hurt this week for the title game if they don't win?
You're 100% right. He should not be talking about this whatsoever. Now, did he just come out at his locker and just stand up and start talking about it? No. Somebody obviously probably asked him about
egged
it.
Egged him on.
Which isn't the time to be honestly asking about it anyway because
but
they're playing
the
Jaguars
does.
In 3 days. But somebody asked him, and instead of just shutting it down and saying, listen, we got playoff games targeted, he had to go and say all this.
How about the guy Mitchell saying he guarantees they'll beat the Patriots? Well, he's not even talking about the game they're playing.
That you're just firing the Jaguars up by doing all that. That's all you're
doing. We'll talk to Mark Long about all that. Kirk Cousins would consider signing with the Browns this offseason if the Redskins do not franchise tag him and he becomes a free agent. Is he serious?
I think so.
He can't be serious.
I think he is.
Why would he go there?
Money? I don't know.
I mean, it's just automatic. It's a lifelong jinx to play for the Browns. You'll forever be a loser.
Maybe he wants to be the guy that turns it all around.
Oh, please. He can't even win in Washington. How's that sound? Richard Sherman is once again taking hacks at the NFL, this time ripping the concussion protocol, calling it a joke. Is the current concussion policy flawed? Does anyone even care anymore at all about concussions? When you saw Kelsey get lit up on Saturday, did you care? Or were you like, he's done, scrape him up, let's go? Cam Newton, no one cares. They really don't. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor seem to be renewing their feud with some back and forth on social media. Do you believe these two are setting everyone up for another fight? Because we now think that they are, except for Mafia. Who's got a tremendous cough. Mavi doesn't believe they're going to fight again. Why not, Mav?
The UFC can't afford to have Conor McGregor sit out another year for a boxing fight. They've already blown up their
brand
so much.
What does he care what they need?
They own his contract. He has to do whatever they say.
So you're saying, oh, now Dana White won't let him do it?
I don't think so. He needs the UFC to be built back up. He has had too many stars lost. He can't have Conor McGregor out again.
So they announced all the London games in the UK for the NFL.
Seahawks against the Raiders, Eagles against the Jaguars, and Titans Chargers are your three. They went down from 4-3 next year, so you lose a London game next year.
And they're back-to-back-to-back weeks next year.
And the first one will be at the new Tottenham Stadium, which was built in accordance with the NFL, who had a hand in helping them. Apparently, they got some crazy field that changes from a soccer field to a football field. This will be the stadium where, if the NFL ever does go to London, that'll be where they'll play.
And that's where they're going to be playing these games?
It's not open yet. Yeah, it's they're building it. They're finishing it up, coming up here in the next few months.
All right. So the divisional semis are this weekend, Saturday, Atlanta, Philly, Tennessee, New England, Sunday, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Minnesota. Get my picks at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Pharrell, F-E-R-R-A-L-L, PharrellOnTheBench.com. All I do is hit winners. Another huge week of action in hoops and hockey as well going on Friday in the NBA. New York at Minnesota. College hoops Saturday, North Carolina, Notre Dame, Miami, Clemson, Michigan, Michigan State. NHL Friday night, Winnipeg, Chicago in the Windy City. PharrellOnTheBench.com has every pick for every game, every sport, every day, including boxing and MMA. By the way, there's a Sunday night fight on FS1, a UFC fight night free. So we'll have those snags up as well this weekend. And our daily fantasy rosters in hoops, hockey, football every single day. Sign up today, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I'm watching this good game, Clemson and NC State in college rack. It's tied at 50s with 13 and a half minutes to go. I got a little NBA going as well. Two late night games that we're interested in. The Clips are out of the gates, 11-4 on the Kings in Sacktown at the Golden 1 Center. And then coming up here in a few minutes, Spurs and Lakers. That one on TNT. We'll watch that one as well from Staples. Are you surprised, as I am, that the Spurs are only favored by 2.5 against the 13-27 Lakers, who are 8-14 at home and basically miserable? And the Spurs are 28-14, but they've been a lousy, I mean, in their world, 10-12 on the road, away from home type team. All right, so let's hook up with Mark Long, covers the Jags for the AP. Thanks for coming on the bench, Mark. I appreciate it. And it's a huge game this week. Boy, I got to tell you, every day it gets closer to this game, I'm more intrigued by it. You know, they've both been talking a lot of smack to one another. There's been, you know, I think the Steelers, some of it's stupid. This guy Mitchell talking about the Patriots game next week, like it's a given. Bell talking about his contract for next year, if any of that's true. Roethlisberger talking about that's the game he wants, because he threw five picks against them. I mean, they've given the Jaguars every reason in the world to go in there and want to beat their ass.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, I don't know if it intrigues you enough to lay some bones on it, but it certainly has the Jags' attention, and they've heard every bit of it, and you know, and we'll see how they respond. But you know, if there is bulletin board material, the NFL, the Jags have a little bit of it this week, and Mitchell, Mitchell's a big one, and that's the guy who got his butt run over in the first meeting by Leonard Fournette, and certainly Roethlisberger. I mean, you know, the kind of the common theme right now in the Jags locker room is be careful what you wish for, and it's not just one guy, that's two or three guys saying the same thing, that hey, listen, if this is what Roethlisberger wants, this is what he's, you know, what he was hoping for, well, you know what? He's going to get it then. And, you know, so, and they can back it up. You know, it's a lot of talk, but certainly the Jags are capable on defense of backing up whatever they say.
I mean, there's no doubt about it, Mark. I think that their defense is just sickening. I mean, it's the reason they're there. I'm not fooled into any other reason at all, believing that that's why they're there. They're there because of that side of the ball. And they mean business. And the first time they played him, they humiliated him. And no one thinks that that can happen again, certainly not in Pittsburgh. But I got to tell you, I'm scared to death of that Jaguar team on that side of the ball. I'm a Steeler fan my whole life, but I'm not stupid. I think that's a great defense, and great defenses do whatever they want in big games.
Yeah, it is a great defense, and it's got a chance to be a generational defense. And winning a game like this in the playoffs, you know, all of a sudden you can maybe not winning this one game, but certainly they could move a little bit closer to being, you know, and I'm not calling them the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens or even the 2015 Denver Broncos, but they're certainly got a chance to be in the conversation. You don't do what they've done from a sack standpoint. You don't do what they've done from a secondary standpoint. You don't amass this kind of talent and the number of wins that defense is really responsible for without putting yourself up there on that pedestal. Now, you know, if they manage to do something big, something bigger, and again, this would be a huge step in that direction, all of a sudden you're talking about an opportunity to move closer to one of those what I call generational defenses, but it can all be it certainly can back up anything they want to talk this week. And yeah, you don't expect 5 turnovers, 2 sacks, 9 points against Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh can't go in there thinking week 5 was a fluke and they're going to drop 24, 27, 30 points on this defense. That would be the big shocker.
Yeah, I mean, well, they did it before, and Fournette ran the ball down their throat. He said it was the best game he had all year, and he's also very healthy. And I think they know that they have to stop him. Let's talk about him for a second. Do you think he's capable, again, of doing that to Pittsburgh?
No, I don't. But Jacksonville's run game's broke. It's got it. It's unbelievable. It just hasn't looked the same over the last month or two. Blake Bortles ran for 88 last weekend. It was the most by any Jags player in a little bit more than a month. So the run games, for whatever reason, I think it's a little bit of combination of Fournette's beat up. It's a pretty long season. He's banged up a little bit. The offensive line is beat up a little bit. And then everybody knows what they're going to do. This is, you know, it's their bread and butter. They're trying to run the ball. They don't look anything like the team that ran for 231 yards in that first meeting, or the team that really led the NFL all year in rushing. They just don't look the part right now.
So Mark Long covers the Jags for AP. Bortles is obviously, people are talking about him, and then you get him talking about himself, about how people abuse him all the time, you know, critics and everything else. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, he stinks. I mean, at some point or another, don't you think he just isn't a great quarterback at all? I mean, I'm okay with him a couple times running the ball, this and that. But are you worried about your quarterback situation? Do you think that Tom Coughlin is going to get a better quarterback down in Jacksonville moving forward?
Yeah, unless something changes dramatically in beginning Sunday, that you know, Blake Bortles isn't the answer in Jacksonville. I think everybody in Jacksonville knows it. You know, it's not like it was that long ago. Hey, listen, first 3 weeks of December, he was the best quarterback in the NFL, better quarterback rating than Tom Brady, more touchdowns. I mean, he looked good in the first 3 weeks. But again, it was against Seattle, Indianapolis, and Houston, 3 trash defenses, or at least Seattle's defense at that point had been was, you know, watered down through injury. So, you know, what we're seeing the last couple of weeks is what we've seen for 3 years from Blake Bortles, a guy who just can't get it done in crunch time, who just doesn't have any consistency to him. And Tom Coughlin's not going to put up with that. And certainly the people of Jacksonville deserve better. And when you got that defense, and the window on that defense is going to be small, what you got on the defensive side of the ball, they've got to upgrade that thing and upgrade it in a hurry starting this offseason.
Do you think, Mark Long with the AP, do you think that Brown and Bryant and James are going to be a problem and Schuster for the Jags this time around? Because the last time they picked him off 5 times, it wasn't a problem at all. I mean, everybody keeps thinking this is going to be such a walk in the park for Pittsburgh. Why would it be any different? Their defense is still lock, stock, and barrel loaded and ready to rock and roll. Who's the one you're worried about Sunday?
Listen, I think it's going to be a ridiculously low-scoring game. I think 17 points, I think, is the magic number. I think the Steelers are 13-1 when scoring 13 or when scoring 17 or more, and the Jags are 10-1 when allowing their opponents to score 17 or less. So that's the magic number. If Pittsburgh can get on the plus side of 17, they're in good shape. If Jacksonville can keep it lower than that, they're in good shape. So it's going to be a ridiculously low scoring game. That defense travels, defense plays well. Defense can survive the cold, the road, the anything you want. I think that defense is going to play well for Jacksonville. I don't know if they're going to, I don't know if they can go single digits again, but they're going to keep that team in it and give Jacksonville a chance no matter what they do offensively. A big part of this thing we haven't mentioned is Ryan Shazier. He was amazing in the first game against Jacksonville, even though, the Jags scored 30 points. I think a touchdown of that was late on Fournette's big run, but Shazier was huge in that game. He's not playing in this one. The Jags think they're going to be able to run the ball. They think Blake Bortles is going to play better. But to me, Jacksonville defense, keep them close, but I surely would have a hard time putting money on Jacksonville on this thing.
All right, Mark, great stuff. Can't wait to see the game. Enjoy it. I appreciate you coming on CBS Sports Radio, brother.
Anything. Thanks, brother, for having me.
All right, Mark Long covers the Jaguars for the AP.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Well, it's just been way too long. It's ridiculous that we have waited, and finally we snagged the man, Billy Jaffe, from NHL Network and Nesson. It's been a minute, but we got him back on the bench. I hope you had a great holiday and Happy New Year. Billy, it's great to have you back on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks, buddy. How you doing?
Chilling. So your boy Carver High and I, we're going to be locked in Vegas. We're going, as usual, to the we do a week of shows at the Super Bowl every year in Las Vegas at the D. And so let me tell you about this place. They have the contract with the Knights. As the the casino of the team. They're the official hotel of the team. And so they have all these events down there, and they have autograph signings. Players come there all the time, and they have fan fests, and they have all this stuff. So Carver High and I have notched out. Tell them what we're doing on the morning of the Super Bowl, Carver. The Sunday we get there, first of all.
Well, the Sunday we get there is the All-Star game, so we're going to have that going on. And then the morning of the Super Bowl, Golden Knights and Capitals face off at like 9:30 a.m. Vegas time.
How beautiful is that? So we get there Saturday night. We're going to have a dinner at Andiamo, bust off like a nickel dinner, and then Sunday night, I'm going to do it again, and then I'm going to watch the All-Star game, and then the day of the Super Bowl at 9 in the freaking morning, I'm going to watch the Capitals and Knights on a TV right there in Lombard, the home of the Knights in Las Vegas. Are you kidding me?
And you're going to have an amazing time, and first of all, from what I'm told, I mean, I've been out there, but I haven't been out there to that hotel, which I know is their official hotel. But I know that there's people that are having watch parties all the time, whether it's during the day, if they're playing in the East or if it's a local game or a West Coast game. You're going to be, you're going to attract all the people out there. It's going to be one big golden fiesta out there, basically, golden night party.
It is. Now, let me ask you, what do you think of the season that they're having is remarkable, and that in the middle of it all, here comes the Army to sue them. I mean, of all things, couldn't they have at least waited until the season ended before they sued them?
Yeah, it seems like an odd time. I mean, I'm not going to get into the legal end of it because I really don't know that much about it except for the naming rights, but all of a sudden, the Golden Knights are the talk of not just the hockey world, but arguably the sports world. I mean, as far as a regular season story goes, this could be the best one in all of sports right now. It's been great, but I mean, I love what they're doing. I wasn't a believer at first. I was like many people, Scotty. I fully admit it. I'm like, okay, they'll be solid, but it won't last. But there's no way they can win with these goalies. But and next thing you know, it's like I couldn't have been further, wrong. I mean, I've always been a huge fan of Gerard Gallant. That I've said publicly. The Florida Panthers messed with the hockey gods last year when they went through that whole debacle of letting him go, when the team really wasn't a bad team. They just hadn't gotten their legs under him again, and every player in Florida wanted him to stay. They let him go, and they've really had a hard time getting back right since then down in Florida. Vegas, meanwhile, has been off the charts good, and a lot of it has to do, yes, with the team, but also with what Gerard Gallant has done. He's got four lines and 6D, actually more than 60. He's 9D deep, and now that Marc-Andre Fleury's healthy, and so Malcolm Subban, his goalies, he's got tons of depth. And these guys, Scott, you know how you can tell that players respect the coach? They never waver from their game plan. And that's the same in any sport. And they don't do that in Vegas. And that's why this team has been so successful.
Yeah, no doubt. Billy Jaffe with us from Nesson. So I got to tell you, you and I have been around expansion teams before. I've never seen anything like this. Now the talk is of Seattle. And I've seen in the last few days even, I saved an article about how the league would – realign if, that they would bring back, I guess, the Smythe and all these other old divisions that they used to have. You know what I'm saying? Where, I guess, the King Sharks, Seattle, Vancouver, and Vegas would be in a division. Are you buying that or selling that's going to happen?
Well, if you're specifically asking about Seattle, I'm buying that Seattle happens. Unfortunately, I won't be buying the team because they want $650 million. Just as an expansion fee. I'm short about $649.9 on that one, but otherwise I'd love to be involved with it. I mean, Seattle would be a fun market. I'm completely buying that Seattle's happening. I don't have a time frame, 3 to 5 years, I would think. I've still got to redo the Coliseum or the arena out there. That's the first thing. It's too good of a market. It's too big of a market, too important of a market, too, because of its location with regard to the upper Northwest and, right near Vancouver. And yeah, Scotty, they're going to have to redo the divisions then. Now, whether they go back to the old names or not, who knows, but they're definitely going to have to do some realignment, not if, but when Seattle comes in.
Were you surprised tonight, as I was, that all three of those games were upsets? The Flames won their fifth straight. They beat the best team in the league, points-wise in the Lightning, and then I couldn't even believe that Buffalo beat Columbus. I don't care where they play it. And then the Canes beat the Caps in D.C. I was, frankly, all three of them shocked me.
Yeah, and Caps hadn't lost in 10 games at home. Carolina's been a bit Jekyll and Hyde. I saw them last week take it to your Pittsburgh Penguins 4-0. It looked fantastic. But then the next game, they got throttled by the Boston Bruins. It was 7-1, and it was just awful. And then they lost the other night to the Caps, and then, or I beg your pardon, to Tampa, and then they beat the Caps tonight in a really good game. To me, they're a team that doesn't have enough personality, but they have got some good skill. Their goaltending is inconsistent right now with Cam Ward and Scott Darling, a goalie that was brought in from the Chicago Blackhawks organization to be the starter in Carolina. And I don't think they have enough overall team toughness. And I'm not talking about fighting. I'm just talking about standing up and being physical. But they've got some good talent. With regard to the other games, I mean Calgary's now won 5 in a row. I didn't think that they would beat Tampa tonight. In fact, on the NHL Network tonight, Scott, I picked all three games. It's part of our shtick that we do, and I got all three wrong. But Calgary's on a roll right now. They've won all five games ever since their head coach, the guy by the name of Glenn Gulletson, had his own
meltdown
on the edge. Yeah, his meltdown, and he did the javelin toss with his stick into the stands about 20 rows up, and he gave his team hell for insufficient attitude and energy and execution during practice a few days ago. So they've won 5 in a row since then, and Buffalo is a bit of a mess, but I don't know. I mean, Columbus, they're not a mess there, but they're wildly inconsistent too in that Metropolitan Division. I was very surprised that Buffalo beat them. I thought that Columbus would be ready to take that one.
Were you surprised, Billy Jaffe with us from NHL Network, that the Islanders, that it didn't work in Brooklyn? I mean, let's face it, it was there for a couple of years, and they just weren't happy, and they wanted to go back to Long Island. They probably should have never left Long Island, and what a political hack mess that was. And now they finally are building a new stadium. at Belmont Park. Are you surprised at all of that?
No, not at all. In fact, I said it, and on the record, I said it in different interviews a couple of years ago. I said, I think that they'll be back in Long Island within a few years, and not that I had any crystal ball. It's just an intuition, having been a part of that organization for a couple of years, living on Long Island for almost 6 years, just a feel. I kind of think that they were like reluctantly getting married to Barclays, to Brooklyn, and you know, marriage is a wonderful vow, but it's also it's a constant work thing. And you know, there's a thing called divorce, and that's what the Islanders are doing. They're divorcing themselves from this arranged marriage of Brooklyn that never felt right, at least to me. I'm surprised that they were able to really, these new owners, Malkin and Ledecky, have been able to get it done quickly, but it sounds like that they've gone about things in a more a cleaner way, meaning they made sure to hit up different people getting this done. It sounds like, you know, it's much more of a state thing than a local government thing, so the state has come through for them. So I give a lot of credit to their ownership for figuring out how to get it done compared to the previous group.
Were you surprised that the Devils are the best team in the tri-state area so far this year?
Yeah, I am. That I am surprised with. And I'm not surprised that Ray Shero has them playing better. Remember, he spent many years learning in Nashville and then being in Pittsburgh and having some great success there. And he's doing the same thing in New Jersey now that he was able to help build in Pittsburgh. I am a bit surprised because I didn't expect that, you know, their young players, whether it was Nico Hischier, the guy who's drafted first overall in this last June draft, or a kid like Jesper Bratt, would step up as much as he did. But they're playing with so much pace, so much speed. They've got solid depth. I think that they're good. I think that, the Met division, the Metropolitan, Scott, is going to have five teams come out of it to make the playoffs versus just three from the Atlantic division. So you'll hear eight teams in the East. Five from the Met and three from the Atlantic. I think the Devils make it, but it's going to be, I think they're a good team. I don't think they're great yet, but I look for them to be active come deadline and definitely active over the summer to add to the great base that Ray Shero has got going.
If the Penguins don't make the playoffs, I'm going to kill myself. Billy, great stuff tonight. Thanks for coming on the bench. We'll see you at a hockey rink soon. Always good to have you back on CBS Sports Radio.
Have a great time in Vegas, baby. I want to hear about it.
We will. We got you covered. Billy Jaffe, everybody from NESN and NHL Network, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Don't forget, on February 24th, Carver High and BComp from NHL.com will be having their bash at the Offsides Tavern in New York City on 14th Street at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Come out and see the boys do their show, Aisle Seat Podcast, live. And then at 7, watch the Devils and Islanders play on the TV while they consume large amounts of alcohol. And then the next day, Carver High is going on a cruise around the world in the high seas. Coming up next hour, Rick Haro on Sports Biz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.